All right, so the next issue here, is there sufficient evidence for believing in biblical miracles? And as you mentioned here, he's going to deal with David Hume, he wrote during the 1700s, and he was a Scottish philosopher. He says, I reject Hume's definition of miracles as a violation of the laws of nature. Even granted, though, his definition, he begs the question when he says that a firm and unalterable experience has established these various laws of nature. He says, if this argument is to stand as a proof against miracle, the experience establishing the laws must be universal and without exception. Mm-hmm. Well, Hume clearly doesn't want to grant that because right. He says that that's not, we can't have that case, right? Our experiences are not universal. That's part of the point that Hume is trying to make.
Right.
And so he's kind of begging the question here. Hume argues that everything behaves naturally and regularly. Really?
Yeah.
What's the evidence? How do you know that? You know right now that things are behaving naturally and regularly. But if you're an empiricist and all you have is your sensory experiences, then how do you know that things won't change?
Right. Well, and define naturally and regularly.
Yeah.
Right. Balls stay on the ground until they go up. I mean, that's just the case. So how is it natural? How is it regular?
Right. And so, Frame tells us almost, certainly in almost all of our experiences, things happen regular patterns and so forth. But to some extent, this is describable by scientific law, but there is nothing in this experience, and here's the point, to persuade us that irregularity is impossible or that everything always behaves naturally and regularly. There's right. nothing in our experience that tells us that, right? So so Hume is making a claim here that his experience can't back up. Is what Frame is suggesting.
Right. So reject Hume's definition of miracle, step one. Granted his definition of miracle, it still fails because it's unable to persuade us that it is irregular or impossible or that everything always behaves naturally and regularly. So right. We can take an internal critique or we can take an external critique as well. Well, experience tells us what is happening. It does not tell us what is or is not possible or what always right. happens.
And that's the point, right? So experience can say this is what's happening, but it doesn't tell us what can happen, what's possible to happen, what always has to happen. That's right. The point he's trying to make here.
Right. You're not supposed to be here, Ball. You're supposed to be on the ground. Why are you still on the table? Well, there has to be some other explanation to it that only natural explanations must exist. Oh, well, I've got a little brother that's holding on to the end of the explanation or to the ball. Well, there's the explanation. But that's an argument from authority. The little brother was holding the ball back. Or you can say it's natural. Well, okay, if that's natural, then God is natural as well. He's the natural person who has these miraculous things that occur within nature. Well, here we have experience tells us what is happening. It doesn't always tell us what is not possible or what always happens, but we have not seen what everything always does, for we have neither seen everything nor have we seen things always. So when Hume begins his argument by saying that nobody has ever had experience or of exceptions to these laws, experiences of miracles, he begs the question because that is precisely the question that needs to be resolved. And he's just saying, no, that's not possible. Well, right. But that's the whole point.
Right. Now, notice Frame says that Hume does not want to argue that because natural laws are universal, then miracles are metaphysically impossible. Right? Hume wants to have an epistemological argument against miracles. So his argument is about the credibility of testimony, right? Can we know miracles based on testimony? That's what Hume says that he's trying to do. And so he's suggesting, he's not saying it's impossible for miracles from a metaphysical perspective. This is an epistemological, can we know kind of question, right? And so he believes that miracle reports tend to come from, notice this, Hume argues this, These reports, these testimonies about miracles come from emotional excess and therefore exaggeration. They come from ignorant and barbarous nations. And he says they're opposed by those very, by different religious persuasions. So why the source of the miracles, the source of the testimony concerning the miracle argues against the miracles, right? Because, you know, these are ignorant and barbarous nations. That's the source of it, or people that are emotionally excessive. And so they exaggerate. Or, you know, different religions have different miracles as part of their religion. And so they all cancel out one another, right? And so as Hume, Frame says, as Hume's argument is essentially that no testimony can establish a report of something impossible. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what Hume. So this is an epistemological argument that Hume is attempting to make here.
Or what we can do is just put everything that we talked about Hume saying here on Twitter, and then he'll get canceled, and then we won't have to deal with him anymore. So that's how it works these days. All right, but applied to the reports of miracles in Scripture, Hume's arguments are unpersuasive unless we assume a priori the impossibility of miraculous events. Well, that's the only way to do it. But again, that's what we're trying to argue for. There is no reason to suppose that the biblical reports of miracles stem from emotional excess or exaggeration, and shouldn't the biblical writers be considered innocent, at least until proven guilty? They weren't expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. They were hiding. The women were the ones that went to the tomb. When they came back, they didn't believe them, so they went and looked for themselves. Doubting Thomas. Why is he doubting? Because he doesn't believe the testimony of Scripture, of the apostles saying that they...
And the women. Seen. Yeah.
And the women, yeah, exactly. Here we have evidence for it, and it's being rejected even when we're assuming, the writers themselves are just making this up. But they're the ones, the first ones to say, whoa, we weren't expecting this.
Right, exactly. So there is no emotional excess or exaggeration because they weren't expecting it, and they were shocked and surprised that it had happened.
right. Nor is biblical Israel fairly described as an ignorant and barbarous nation. The right. Most that can be said is that the biblical writers lived before the advent of modern science. This ability to say, a bunch of Iron Age goat herders just undermines everything. I mean, you could say that about ancient Israel. You could say that about Mesopotamia. You could make that claim and say, they didn't have smartphones, therefore they're stupid. But they're the ones that gave us the roads. They're the ones that invented the pencils that we use. They're the ones that, they had flushable toilets in Rome before we did. So let's hold back here on who we're calling ignorant and barbarous.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and that's the point he's trying to make here, right? Hume says ignorant and barbarous. That's the source of these. Well, wait a minute. That's can you really say that when you actually look at the facts of them?
Right. But clearly they understood that X heads normally do not float. That
one figure, right? So they knew that.
Even though they
didn't live in the scientific age, they knew that X heads didn't float.
Yeah, before Archimedes displaced water in a bathtub because his wife told him to take a bath, they knew those things were weird. One cannot normally feed multitudes with a few loaves and fishes, and that men don't normally rise from the dead. And as far as the
So Hume is saying that they're backwards, they're barbarous, they're ignorant. First, that may not be true. It doesn't seem to be true. Now, clearly, it is true that they lived before the scientific modern age, right? But that doesn't mean they didn't know these things about, axes heads don't float and people don't rise from the dead. They knew that.
Right.
They knew that, even if they were ignorant and barbarous.
Right.
Even ignorant and barbarous people know that.
Right. Yeah. Well, why did they act surprised? This is just God raising axe heads. You know, this to throw out another movie reference. This is what always was my issue with the Harry Potter series is that for 8 movies, Harry Potter on his day of graduation is still enamored by magic. It's like he's seen magic for the first time all the time. I'm like, no, but you live in a world of magic. I don't understand why you view this as you're moving a chair 3 inches with a magic wand. I don't understand why you can look at that in awe when you've been doing that for, you know, 8 years now. But why aren't these, you know, these people who are so prone to the miraculous, why are they so confused when these things happen? That should be, well, you know, we can't really expect anything other than, us to move forward in the progression of time. But whether our crops are plentiful for 7 years and negative for 7, it doesn't seem like there would be any expectation of the things to come, because miracles just always seem to happen to these people. But that's not what we see.
Right.
So as far as the opposition of contrary parties, we have no knowledge of such opposition in the Old Testament context.
Yeah, nobody in the Old Testament is saying that, for instance, the plagues didn't happen, right? There's no opposition to it, right? They're just trying to deal with them as they happen. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so these various objections then that Hume has leveled against the possibility that testimony concerning miracles is not credible, Frame is suggesting they really don't work. That's what he's getting at. Mm-hmm. Right? He says, though, that there is some more fundamental criticisms of Hume's arguments, and they're epistemological. And he gives us two here. First, he says that Hume assumes a non-theistic view of the possibility and probability of miracles. For him, that is Hume, possibility and probability are determined entirely by autonomous human experience without any consideration of who God is and what God's intentions are. His argument indeed assumes that God, the God of the scripture, doesn't exist. Well, you know, if God exists, Hume, then our experience isn't autonomous, authoritative, right? There are things that can happen that go beyond our experience if God exists. Secondly, he says, Hume assumes at the outset that divine revelation plays no role in determining whether miracles have taken place. And of course, we have to consider that when we're considering testimony concerning miracles, because divine revelation is testimony. It's testimony by God himself.
Right.